Good morning,
Sacramento.
Hello, hi.
I thought you were going to go full into your Robin Williams.
No, voice. This is not Vietnam. This just in Sacramento. Hey, how are you doing? Welcome in. It is The Drive. Dave, Katie, met George. It is yellow and green. Is yellow and green soccer.
The guy that doesn't own any jerseys wearing a jersey.
It's his jersey. He owns a jersey.
Ah.
True, you only own one jersey. Is that right?
I have a bunch of Kings, old Kings throwback jerseys.
Yeah.
I didn't buy any of them, though.
No?
It doesn't matter.
They're gifts from back in the day. None of them fit me anymore.
Oh. Really?
Yeah.
You mean you were actually smaller than that at one point?
Shorter.
Shorter, that's it.
Shorter, yeah.
The width was about the same.
I know.
So you got some crop top jerseys.
Yeah. I can't pull them off like Ezekiel Elliott, though.
Today is Harry Potter's 38th birthday, everybody. I'm sure you are all celebrating.
I'm sorry, what?
July 31st, 1979.
It's my sister's birthday today.
Is it?
It is.
Well,
same thing.
Slightly less famous than Harry Potter, but that's okay. Still a big day.
And how old is Harry?
38 years old.
Oh.
38 years old today.
I think my sister might be 39 or 40 today.
Don't put that out there.
Eh, whatever.
You know? So your younger sister has her birthday today.
You're such an ass.
It's Monday. All right, I have an etiquette question for you guys to start us off. So,
oh, it's too late for that.
I was at
he's coming to us for etiquette.
I know, right?
I have taken a class on etiquette, by the way.
I was at my friend's house Saturday night when this happened. John Jones beats Daniel Cormier in a third-round knockout UFC Saturday night. So we're over at my friend's house for the old pay-per-view. And there's a couple of things with pay-per-views. I have etiquette rules with pay-per-views. If I'm going to somebody's house for the pay-per-view, I have to contribute something. Pay-per-views are, $70? And, when people come over to my house, my dumb loser friends, when they come over to my house for pay-per-views, they show up like 2 minutes before the main card or after.
No.
Then they watch the fights, and then a minute after it's over, see ya. Well, not all of them, but there are those people.
You have to start charging admission.
Yeah,
by admission, I mean like you have to bring a dish.
I can't. I will never require people to do things. It's one of those. That's one of my ways of grading people is they don't realize it. And, there's always the friend that brings what he's drinking. And in his mind, he's contributing when he brings over his little mini cooler with his 12 or a Natty Ice.
Oh, no.
And that's his contribution.
Oh, that's what college kids drink.
Well, most of my friends are still college kids, even though they're in their mid to late 30s. If I go somewhere, I have to contribute. I have to, whether it's throwing on the pay-per-view, and 9 times out of 10. Like, if somebody offers me money, and they say, hey, dude, let me throw in, I'll decline it. I never take money for a pay-per-view. But the act of it is, it means a lot. Like, thank you for offering. Nah, dude, all good. And if somebody says, what can I bring? It's kind of what you say. I say, hey, bring whatever you're going to drink. And if we're doing food, I'll say, bring something. But I've learned I have to be specific, because if I just put out on, the group text, bring something, I'm going to get 30 bags of chips and salsa.
I was just going to say, you're going to have a bunch of chips.
The easiest thing in the world.
Basically.
Although I have one friend that goes by Chevy's and gets their to-go thing of chips and the Chevy salsa in the thing, and that's fantastic. So that's always their job. They know that. You bring chips and salsa. So my wife and I go to my buddy's house, watch the fights, and my parents couldn't watch the kids. They had something to do. They couldn't watch our kids till about 6:30. So we were those people that showed up 7 o'clock, right when the main card started. He had gotten a sushi platter from Makuni's.
No
at
way.
At 5. And when we got there, it was gone, which is totally understandable. We got there late. That's fine. Everyone ate. It's our fault. But we didn't know.
Well, I would have been scared 2 hours later to have the fish sitting out after you're coming off.
After what
off.
I went through. Yes. Even before that, but after what I went through, you're right. So I offer him money. I brought money, offer him money for the pay-per-view. He said no. We knew he drank. We knew his type of beer. So we brought a case of that beer.
A whole case. That's
yeah,
nice.
Well, Melissa was drinking it too, though. So I was, I brought two Gatorades.
Oh,
that was
so
my
I know
thing.
What it is. Okay,
so,
go
so,
ahead.
Yeah. So, so.
Aren't they our sponsor?
I don't know. Yeah. Are they?
Yes,
is
they
Coors
are.
Light our sponsor?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, it's cool. Hey, it was
yeah,
Coors Light.
There you go.
Thanks, Kate. Always got to be careful there. So about 7:27, like we're hungry. And we took a chance that there would be food there.
Some.
But the food was already, for the most part, gone.
Oh.
So I made a grand decision. And I ordered two big old pizzas. There was only about 8 people there. So I ordered 2 different types of pizzas, and I had it delivered. I paid for it, obviously, and brought it in. And after I ordered it, I told my buddy, I said, hey, man, just, you know, we got here late. It's our fault. Like, I was so apologetic. I'm like, we wanted to eat. Dude, we got here late. My apologies. Would it be cool if I ordered pizza, already having ordered it 10 minutes ago? He was like, yeah, dude, no, cool, man. And he reaches into his pocket for cash. And I said, no, I got it, man. Thank you. That was my contribution, right?
Yeah.
But the rest of the night and leading up to it, I was really, I was having an internal debate. Is it rude to go to somebody's house and order food delivered to their house?
No.
No?
No.
It's
like,
not.
Dave, there's been plenty of parties at my house. If someone ordered food to have it delivered to my house, I'd be like, yes, thank you.
It's not in any way sending a message to the host. You didn't prepare properly. You don't have enough to feed people here. So I'm going to take over and alpha your party. And
no.
I'm going to order the food because you couldn't do it properly.
No.
Okay.
No.
No, Matt, you're in agreement with her?
No, not even close.
Okay.
You worry about the most,
Listen, I'm a giant ass, and this is well documented. I really am. But when it comes to stuff like that.
Do you notice how I'm not going to argue with you?
I
was silent. I think he was expecting me to say something.
No.
That he looked at me, and I was like, nope, nothing. Got nothing to say over here.
Bit my lip really hard.
But there are tiny things that I'm very, very concerned with. I stress out about, and that's one of them. I almost didn't do it. But had I been by myself, I wouldn't have. I would have just dealt with it.
So I kind of deal with a similar thing.
Oh my God.
It's kind of the same question, really. It's cuz, you know, you've been to my house for parties.
Yes.
Not having enough food has never been a problem. In
no.
fact, I send people home at the end of the night with plates of food cuz I overfeed people.
Yes.
But there are certain friends in the group that when we go to their house,
yes.
I absolutely know that there are some things that aren't going to be there, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, my former roommate and I, we had a group that went out to a barbecue a weekend or two ago. Same, it was like a kid's barbecue, whatever. So we, of course, offered to bring something. And it was like, yes, please bring XYZ, right? Like, Katie, bring a salad. Like, you know, Desi, bring, you know, some chips and dip
sure.
or whatever. So we both offline, off of our group thread, were like, okay, we're going to bring this, and this as well. And roll in. And I sometimes wonder if it's rude to be like, oh, just assuming that they're not going to have, like, appetizers. Because that's what we always bring,
right?
So we roll in with a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, which is fine.
Is
better
it?
Than being hungry all night.
Well, because
but you have to understand your group of friends.
Yeah.
Which I have a unique understanding of your group of friends because many of them were my friends before. And I know these people. And they're the ones that will roll to your house, kind of like what I was just describing. They'll roll to your house with like a bottle of vodka for themselves. And then at the end of the night, take that bottle of vodka with them.
And, what wasn't drank.
What wasn't drank. Yeah, they bring it for themselves to drink and then they take it when they leave. And they roll in, and they don't really bring anything, and then when you go to their house, it's, you know, they'll usually deck out like the 9 things you need to bring, and it's just kind of an uneven playing field there. But that's fine. You just have to recognize there's just different types of people. There's just, and I'm not judging. Well, I'm really judging. Actually, I'm lying. I'm really judging. But hey, listen, you go to somebody. Go there, recognize you should contribute or at least be in a position to offer to contribute and have it turned down.
Right.
Dude, when you roll in empty handed, you know, like your parties are basically like a it's kind of like a freeloaders convention for the most part where you have.
You know what? This is partially my fault, though, because people always offer and I'm like, no, I've got it. I don't like telling people, say, what to bring.
And I agree with you, but it's the offer that counts.
Yeah.
If they
so
offer.
I can't judge them for, you know, I don't.
Well, they should offer on their own. That you should never assume.
I have one friend that is a sweetheart, and no matter what, every time she comes to my house, she brings flowers in addition
there
to
you
whatever.
Go. That's
and,
awesome.
Yes,
there
sweetheart.
Are just many that don't.
Yes.
Now, my wife at the end of the night, there was about, because everybody had already eaten, so there was about a full pizza. If you combine the two pizzas, these were extra large pizzas.
Yeah.
There was a full pizza left over, maybe a little less than that. And my wife, you know, listen, hey, Coors Light was her sponsor that night. So she was a little bit hungry as we were leaving. And she was thinking ahead, so she whispers in my ears, we're walking out, she goes, hey, should we take the pizza? I was
no.
You can't don't take
that.
The pizza.
You can take like two pieces and be like, I'm hungry, I'm going to smash this in the car.
You can eat some pizza there before you leave, but you cannot, once you cross the threshold of the doorway with whatever contribution you have.
It's theirs.
It's theirs.
Yeah.
With very fine extenuating circumstances. If you bring over a bottle of, let's say, very expensive scotch to share, I think you can take that with you. I think if the thing you bring over is...
I've gotten to the point where I hide the expensive stuff
before
people come.
Because they will. You have friends that will... Same
it's
here.
It's free reign in my liquor cabinet,
man.
Yeah,
they'll look in your liquor. Oh, hey, this is good stuff.
Yeah.
I better drink some.
Smash it.
Yeah. One of my friend's husbands will do that. He'll come over and look for my most expensive whiskey, and he'll just start drinking off of it just because. Does he bring any of his? No, he doesn't. Big show today. Play-by-play voice Saturday night of the aforementioned UFC. John Anik. He will join us at 8:05 to break down everything that happened that night. Detective Jack Cooley, your newest Sacramento King.
Oh, goodness.
He's going to join us at 7:35, and we can fanboy, or I will at least fanboy, all over him. We're going to have a lot of women involved in the show today, not just you, Katie, but women in sports. LeVar Ball thinks they can't referee, and boy, though, they can sure come back from 3-1 deficits against Brazil, the United States women's team last night. My goodness gracious. Big show planned for you. Sit back. Enjoy your Monday. We got you till 9 o'clock right here on Sports 1140 KHTK. That's Joe Flacco, quarterback of the Ravens, on whether or not it could bring in Colin Kaepernick, which is a story we started talking about on Friday. It looks like that has progressed now. Team owner Steve Biscotti, who, as Katie noted before the show, invented a fine side dish with coffee, says we're very sensitive to it. We're monitoring it. And we're still scrimmaging it, whatever that means.
Well, I know. When I read that, I was like,
I don't know what that means.
You're doing too much, buddy.
Yeah.
Too much.
They have. What's good though is that they have consulted with their fans and with Ray Lewis,
which they do for all roster spots.
Yeah.
That's got to be true, right?
Yeah. Dude, if he's asking for too much money, if you feel like he won't work in your system, if, you know, there are a litany of reasons why I could at least get on board with, hey, Colin Kaepernick doesn't make sense for us. Polling your fans and talking to Ray Lewis, polling the same fans that gave...
Talking to Ray Lewis.
this is the group of fans, and it's been said ad nauseum, that gave Ray Rice a standing O when he returned to practice. Like, dude, just come on. And if you really want to have some extra fun, Katie, and I did this over the weekend, go on Twitter and Google, search Colin Kaepernick, Baltimore Ravens, boycott. And look at the tweets from people that say they'll boycott, and then go into their little bios. Start reading those. You get a real good sense as to who'd be boycotting that Kaepernick thing.
So he was asked about Biscotti, the owner, about if it would hurt their brand, which with everything you just rattled off with the Ray Rice thing and
that brand.
Ray Lewis, who is like a god there. And he's like, quantify hurting the brand. He's like, I know it upset some people, but we're going to make some people unhappy, and it would make some people happy because they support what he did. He goes, nonviolent protesting is something that we have all embraced. I don't like the way he did it. Personally, I kind of liked it a lot when he went from sitting to kneeling. I don't know. I'm Catholic. We spend a lot of time kneeling. There is just a lot of things and I'm sitting here going, this is a billion-dollar business,
yep.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Do they have anyone working for them that helps with, I don't know, PR and statements?
Probably yes, and they're not doing well at their job. And need to do better. So we'll follow that throughout. We're going to get somebody from Baltimore on tomorrow as well, as this is a big developing story. The biggest story ever for a backup quarterback that may not ever see playing time. But, hey, here we are.
Oh, we all know who that is. Like, he doesn't need an introduction, right?
Tony Dungy.
Oh, yeah.
LeBron James.
LeVar Ball.
Larry Bird.
Voldemort.
Piss.
Baltimore,
at
I like
a,
that.
And I will say it, a woman, because he did reference her multiple times as a girl.
Yes.
She's a grown-ass woman. And the fact that she called him for a technical foul in the first half of the championship game for the Adidas Uprising Summer Tournament, he threw a fit. Asked Adidas to remove her from the game, which they did.
They did,
and he said they were going to walk off the court if they did not remove that official.
Again.
So what he's doing here, and they did, they replaced her with a male official.
Yeah.
Who also ended up calling him for a technical, which was an automatic ejection with just about, you know, I think 2 minutes remaining in the game. And that is when their team forfeited. So here we go. We've got LeVar Ball coaching an AAU team with his son on it. And he's teaching them a very important lesson that if things don't go your way, you quit and you walk off the court. So
absolutely. Well done.
Well done.
Well really, done, LeVar.
Really proud. And I commend this woman for not saying anything. She has yet to make a comment on the whole situation. But someone did make a comment, Dave, and I thought multiple comments, actually, that was dead on. The NBA Referees Union.
Yep, they did.
Tweeted out 4 different responses to this story, and I applaud them for that. I know we're going to get into it a little bit deeper later, but it got me thinking about some things. I'm wondering what the over-under is on the number of technical fouls LeVar Ball receives this NBA season from the sideline.
Man, 2. Because they'll boot him after 1.
You think so?
Maybe.
Who does? The NBA or the Lakers?
Yes. Okay. Probably both. Probably the NBA because
we'll
the Lakers aren't, the Lakers want to blame someone.
We'll see.
Listen, LeVar obviously has some good points. You know, when you have a situation where you have men playing basketball and you have a woman out there in her hair curlers and her makeup and her pink referee outfit, you can't expect her to, you know, women with their smaller brains, obviously, and inferior physical abilities, you can't expect them, Katie, to be able to, you know, referee a men's game.
Yeah,
they should stick to
totally.
The women and the children.
Official. This is a Division I official.
What's he going to do when what's he going to do when he gets the NBA and there's a female referee in the NBA?
Oh, my gosh. Let's think about this. Female referees exist in all professional sports. And I'm talking about the NFL, the NBA. And I don't know. What is stay in your lane? For him to come out and say that it's not misogynistic,
lane,
what he was
just
saying.
Just substitute lane for kitchen.
Okay.
That's what it is. Substitute lane for kitchen.
Well, thank you for mansplaining
you know what
LeVar
he's talking
Ball
about.
To me. I appreciate that.
Much more on this later.
Boo.
Boo.
That's all Bags. Jeff Bagwell. What's the Jeff Bagwell hate for? Just in general?
No, just the Astros.
Oh, the Astros. I got you. Well, when Bagwell played, though.
Come off it.
They were National League when he played. What do you care?
Come off
Not
it.
Now.
Not now.
Reddick stealing jerk faces.
That's Jeff faces. Bagwell. Pudge Rodriguez also popped into the Hall of Fame as well as a fun weekend in Cooperstown. Tim Raines finally gets in. You don't have to answer that question anymore. And Bud Selig. Bud Selig's a Hall of Famer.
Which now, that means that all of the dopers are going to get in, right?
You would think so.
That's what that means, right?
Are you referring to Jeff Bagwell being a doper? No. You're going to get in trouble.
That's not what I was talking about.
But Bud Selig, obviously, is who you were talking about. He is a massive doper.
Well, he was the commissioner during this whole reign of PEDs and drugs in baseball.
He was.
How is he not responsible
I
for
don't,
that?
I don't know. It was a fine group of people. I always like to remember Jeff Bagwell traded from the Red Sox to the Astros for Larry Anderson. That's one of your all-time floppy trades in history. It was a good class. It was a good class. Always a fun weekend in Cooperstown. The Major League Baseball Hall of Fame, the holliest of Hall of Fames, probably in all of sports.
Holliest.
Very much so. That's some old school going on right there. When we get back, Shaquille O'Neal has entered the fray.
Yes.
He's got a... Hey, you know what? When in doubt, as I always say, drop a diss track. Coincidentally or not, with the LeVar Ball Show My Ass weekend, Shaq has dropped a mixtape or a diss track, on LeVar.
Mixtape. You're so over 40.
You know I am. John Anik at 8 o'clock, Jack Cooley at 7:30. We'll be right back. It's Sports 1140 KHDK. Apologies, fellow Giants fans. That is, I believe, the great Charlie Steiner on the call on the Dodgers Radio Network. It's a tale of two teams. The Giants just continue to suck. They kept it close all weekend. They were up 2-1 in extras, and the next thing you know, yep, guy comes up first at bat in his career, and walk off. Got to turn your mic on.
Goodbye.
Yeah, it was over. I'll say this, man. As much as I hate the Dodgers, they're on a pace to win 114 games this year. It's actually getting into the silly realm. With them, they're ridiculous.
They're the Cubs of 2017.
Well, we'll see. We'll see, because
they've done a really good job in the postseason.
Yeah, exactly.
They have a history of being really good in the postseason.
You gotta win the whole thing if you're the Dodgers. There's no other option for them. If they do not win the World Series this year, it's a lot of pressure. If they don't win the World Series, it's a failure. It's an absolute failure. When you're a team that hasn't won since 88, you have the payroll they do. You have the talent, more importantly, that they do. And again, they're probably not going to win 114 games, although they're on some crazy pace, right? It's like 38-7 or 40-8, something stupid like that. But that is a damn good team, and they still might pick up more at the trade deadline. So, hey, there's that. LeVar Ball got stupid over the weekend, pulling his team on and off the floor, getting Adidas, who, by the way, he did. Now I wonder this. If in the next week or two it gets announced that Adidas has signed a shoe deal with Lonzo Ball, we'll know a little bit more to this story. Because Adidas pulled the female ref off the floor and replaced her with a guy ref because LeVar Ball got mad and threw a tantrum. Now, if they end up signing Lonzo Ball, that's what I wonder. I wonder if that was the conversation. Dude, don't piss this guy off. We're about to sign him. There's a lot of money involved. Either way, Adidas is going to get his ass kicked. It's ass absolutely kicked over this whole thing. And they should. Shaquille O'Neal, who sometimes is funny and sometimes is embarrassing, but in this case I think it's kind of funny. He is a very talented rapper. And I say that with every part of my tongue in cheek.
Meaning that he's more talented than you.
I don't know. I'll go head to head with him in a rap battle. I don't know that I'd win. I'll do it though. But he dropped a diss track on LeVar Ball, and we thought we'd play it for you. You be the judge. It's an old radio bit, like it or spike it, right here on KHDK. Here's Shaq O'Neal on LeVar Ball and how much he loves him. Wow. All right, well done.
I mean, seriously.
All right, so let's review.
That was a brilliant job.
Brilliant.
I thought it was great.
I thought it was great. I mean, unnecessary rip on Jeff Maloney, first off. That's rough.
That Harden on Harden rhyme was fire.
Yeah, that was what do you say? They call me Steph Harden.
Yeah.
And I make as much money as Steph Curry and James Harden. what did he say towards the end? He said, I learned the game from William Wesley. You can't have. That's a Drake line from Back to Back. That's a line from Drake's diss track to Meek Mill. The song's called Back to Back. He lifted that word for word. And the fact that I know that is sad.
I'm like,
I do know that.
Wow.
Though. That's a good song.
The reference to his jersey in the rafters.
That's good.
And his
that was good.
Statue out in front of the Staples Center. I applaud him for that. Because when this all comes, this all goes back to a beef that started to develop when Shaq tweeted out a picture of him with his rings and his shoes. And he said that, you know, you don't real big baller brands don't overcharge kids for shoes. And so this is where the whole beef kind of started. And for him, who's LeVar's son, he plotted and schemed for him to be drafted by the Lakers. Whether or not it would have happened one way or the other, it doesn't really matter. But his son is playing for a franchise that has Shaq's jersey in the rafters. He won titles there, and he has a statue out front. It blows my mind that this man's ego is so enormous that he doesn't care who is in the line of fire.
No.
Anybody. It's free reign.
Any publicity is good publicity.
Kobe is going to be the next one.
Hey, like it or spike it, 44-11-40. We do have a number of people texting saying, I have no idea what Shaq just said. And I don't know if that's a translation of the radio or if that's just they have no idea what Shaq's saying.
That sounds like a normal Shaq soundbite to me.
But there you go. Hey, you know, when in doubt, just drop a diss track. We should do that for all the all our competing radio shows. Go after Armstrong and Getty. Go after Rob and Dawn. Go after everybody. Just diss track them. Right after we do our drive-by dunk challenge. We'll take a break when we get back. Oh golly! So we got that. We did the disc tape, and we've already spent. We'll talk a little bit more about LeVar Ball later, or we can just knock it out right now because I want to be done with it. The Kings made a move. They've got a new member of the front office. We'll catch you up there at 7 a.m. Allen Iverson is on the side of a milk carton. We'll tell you why. But I do want to ask you, Katie, since it's a short segment next, and we can finish up the LeVar Ball talk on women referees. Because there's some people actually on the text line like, well, LeVar kind of has a point.
Of course there's people
agree,
like
but
that.
But I'll ask you about that. We'll do that next on The Drive. Sports 1140 KHDK. Your newest Sacramento King, Detective Jack Cooley, will join us at 7:35. Talk about his brand-new two-way contract. Hey, a lot of us called it. I won't take any credit because there was half of King's Nation said the same thing, that the King's two spots for two-way contracts would be Jack Cooley and Jakarr Sampson, and here we are. It's
ding,
Jack
ding,
Cooley
ding, ding, ding.
And Jakarr Sampson. So there you go. Those are filled. God. Training camp's going to open here in a couple months. It's pretty crazy.
When the schedule has to be coming out soon,
I think,
right?
I think so.
There's never like a target date. It just gets released.
Actually, less than a couple months. Well, it's going to be it'll be the middle of September.
I think October 2nd is their first preseason game.
Yeah, I would imagine Media Day.
It has to be earlier.
Yeah, probably 5, maybe 6 weeks from Media Day. And camp opens the next day.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Would like for that information to come out because I really need to get a couple more vacations in before the season
starts.
Listen
to her.
Since I've had I know I go on vacation next
Golly.
Week and I'm really
going
excited
to the Bahamas.
No, I'm going to the Cayman Islands.
Whatever, same thing.
But yeah, it's
Some guy's going to work right now. Why don't you guys give her crap for taking
but
vacation?
Since the season ended, I took the week after the season off. That was in April,
right?
Dave.
You know what? Most people get 2 weeks of vacation a year, Katie.
I'm just saying.
If they're lucky.
Before I go into the season. Hey, don't shame me for having vacation.
You gotta
I do work two jobs.
You gotta try to hide it better. Hey, most people work three jobs these days, Katie. let's see. Your guy LeVar Ball. Over the weekend. And, you know, we shy away.
Please don't start any sentence with your guy, LeVar Ball.
We've really started to shy away from, we probably move past 7 out of every 10 LeVar Ball stories just because it gets so nauseating. And it's kind of hypocritical to say, oh, LeVar Ball sucks, and then talk about him all the time, which happens quite a bit in sports radio. But he gets into this isn't a broader point. Now, this isn't just LeVar LeVar is being LeVar. He's, you know, his shoes are expensive and his boys will be the best ever. And Lonzo could beat, you know, Steph Curry right now. It's not that. Now he's getting into, again, kind of bagging on females. Now, he had the deal a couple months ago with Christine Leahy, Colin Coward's co-host on Fox Sports, where he said, stay in your lane.
Yeah, he uses that a lot.
And that was one of those, well, okay, it was probably a crack at her being a chick, but we don't know.
He didn't tell Stephen A. Smith to stay in his lane.
Right. Then over the weekend, you know, he's coaching a bunch of 15-year-olds in an AAU game. And he's pulling his kids off the floor. He's berating refs. He's basically, he's basically pulling his pants down, showing his ass to the entire audience and other kids and parents who traveled and spent a lot of money. And think about that. You're a kid either on his team or you're a kid on the other team, and your family has invested a ton of money in these leagues and getting you that extra skill.
The travel, the food, the lodging, the amount of money that parents spend on AAU basketball is insane these days. It is a huge financial commitment. And then for him to pull his team off the floor, when the first technical happened, they were down 10 before halftime.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So when things aren't going your way and you're losing, yes, show your ass, act like an idiot, and then blame it on someone.
Right.
I mean, that's what we're teaching these kids.
Well, he threatened to pull his team off the floor if they didn't remove the female ref.
Mm-hmm.
Adidas buckled because, hey, they're making a lot of money off of this. These things are selling out and then some. There's lines outside. It's a crazy scene. And then afterwards, he was asked about it. I don't know, man.
Okay,
I don't know.
So the troubling thing about this, and we talk about kind of what this is teaching the kids that are watching this, the kids that are participating in this game. His son, LaMelo, was asked about the whole thing, and his response, that's the funniest S I ever saw.
Sure.
Of course it's funny. It's hilarious. This is he's such a great role model. And then he went on to even say, Dave, that, you know, it was because of his celebrity that this was happening, because of his celebrity, which makes me want to vomit.
So here's the thing. LaVar Ball is an ass, and that's nothing.
Oh, yeah, we
that's
know that.
That's nothing new.
Yeah, so we'll approach this from a different angle.
His contention is that his contention seems to be that women should not be refereeing the men's game. So let's explore that. Let's explore that. LaVar Ball have a point. So you have a point. There, I believe, have been three female referees in NBA history. Dee Kanner, who's now the head of WNBA officiating. Violet Palmer, who I think just retired last year.
Yeah, 50, and then there's a new one.
And then Lauren Holtkamp.
Yeah.
Now, I can't stand Lauren Holtkamp. And I promise you it has nothing to do with her being a female.
His contention, though, is that it's not the same as the women. The rules are the same.
Sure they are.
The rules. And what he had a problem with was a foul that she called because someone slapped at the ball defensively and didn't hit the ball, hit like someone's arm.
Yeah.
And he says, you don't have to hit the ball for it to not be a foul.
The man's game, that's fine.
Bull crap.
Yeah, it's a foul.
I mean, that's literally just in the rule
book. Now, sometimes that doesn't get called. Sometimes it doesn't get called. You know that. Sometimes
you can't,
they won't call
there are
it,
calls that don't happen because you can't call a perfect game.
We'll get
but it. It's simple. If you swipe at the ball and you miss the ball and hit someone's arm, it is a clear foul.
I need somebody to make it. I'm trying to think.
In the women's game as well.
I don't know what the case would be that women shouldn't referee in the NBA. I don't know what the case would be.
There's not a case.
But Lauren Holtkamp is generally considered, over her 2 years, one of the worst referees in the NBA. I'm looking at the ratings right now. Last year, she was in the bottom three with Scott Foster and Mark Davis.
Violet was a great official.
We'll take a break. We'll talk about this more later. Coming up, we will tell you the brand new assistant general manager for the Sacramento Kings. We'll give you some background on him. It's The Drive, back in 3 minutes. Sports 1140 KHDK.